Succession number 20384, Reel 10.
Session number 448, Mr. Kenneth Chia Jainan, Reel 10.
Well, to be in this line, we must be nice to people. We cannot be cocky to them. And we have to oblige them in certain things which they want, and we can get it for them. And as far as possible, we must not talk too much to them. And we cannot reveal to them what we are doing. In case they insist and they ask and they actually want to know, we still cannot reveal to them. We are also in fear that they may give information or they may gossip, and these gossips will bring words around. So that is also a very, very great risk to us. So whenever they ask, just like neighbors or whoever, when they ask anything, we must not reveal to them. We normally say we get through friends. If he can help us, he will help us, not otherwise. And we will not tell them in what merchandise we are dealing in. Even if they come to know, we still have to... we still have to keep it a secret and must not let them know. Because this is a type of business which we always feel that we encounter danger, and not to us, also to our family. So the best thing to do is just not talk too much and keep things to yourself. That is what I normally do. You want to ask me anything?
During the later part of the occupation period, did you hear of news of the declining war efforts by the Japanese?
Well, we have heard that the Americans were taking action against the Japanese. And early 1945, we heard that the Americans have been bombarding Japan, but which part of Japan we didn't know. Then after 2 weeks later, there was a very strong hearsay that the atomic bomb has been dropped in Japan. So everybody was so happy, that thinking that the war may come to an end. So sometime in February, there's 45, in February 45, we heard that Hiroshima is being bombed. And two atomic bombs, when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were being bombed. Then from there, the hearsay was that Japan is going to give up, could not stand, because a lot of people died during the bomb. So we just wait patiently. So true enough that Japan fell, then Singapore was given back to the British colony.
How did you get all this news about the US bombing Japan and all that.
Well, we have got Japanese friends. So this little gossip goes wrong, you see. But we still don't believe. We still don't believe. Then until sometime in February, then really things became realistic.
You mean that the Japanese themselves were the ones who told you?
Yes, yes.
How did they feel when they were telling you?
Well, they feel quite sad, you know. And they were thinking what will happen to them when the British take over Singapore. And they even commented that during their invasion, they have done quite a lot of harm to the people of Singapore. So I just told them, you see, I say, there's nothing for you to fear, lah. I don't think that the British will act as just like you people did. They are more flexible in things.
Did all this news affect your business in any way?
No, it doesn't affect. Then when British came in, I'm still doing black market. I'm still doing black market. Cigarettes, liquor, provisions.
Were there more frantic buying and selling during the later part, just before the Japanese surrendered?
Yes, along Rochor Road, by the side of the road. All goods, black market going on.
At that time, did you think that the people already knew that Japanese was going to surrender?
Oh, yes. Yes. Then the rumors became stronger.
So, was that... Did that account for the buying and selling?
Yes, still is going on. Still going on. Then Japanese currency people tried to use up. Until surplus, I would throw them away.
So when you buy and sell, did you still accept Japanese currency?
When the British actually came in, we don't accept anymore.
Before that?
Before that, still accepting. Until when the British came in, the Japanese currency is worthless. So whatever surplus I got, all have to be dumped away.
So, did the Japanese announce their surrender to the population in Singapore?
Yes, they did. They did. And they were sad, you know. They were sad.
What were your reactions when you knew for sure that the Japanese had already
surrendered? Oh, we were very happy. We say we are in their hands. We have got enough time with them. And we are all living in fear, you know. If a person gets into trouble, though, the whole family will be affected. So during the Japanese period, every one of us is living in fear.
Did you continue to do business with these Japanese after their surrender?
After their surrender, we can't do any business for them already.
So who did you deal with then?
Again with these wholesalers and retailers.
But where would you get your supply?
Well, some of the surplus stock we got.
So, would you say that business was not as good as before
that? No, not that good already.
During this period when they had surrender and before the British came back to Singapore, were you afraid that the local people may do something to the black marketeers, take any revenge killings or whatever?
No, that never happened.
Oh, did you hear of it?
No.
So what was the situation like during this period before the British came back?
Well, actually the people are living in fear. They are living in fear.
Who was still in control?
At that time, the Japanese were still in control, and they relaxed things already. They just leave things alone.
Did you still get the rations? Or was it still on?
From that time, then there's no more rations. Right? Black market going on again, and more difficult to get rations, because all these big retailers, they hot up.
The Japanese did not interfere.
No, they don't interfere already. They already gave up hope. But there's still law and order, no? There's still law and order.
Maintained by the Japanese
soldiers. Yes, yes. They don't let things run loose. Until when they hand over to the British government, they see that things still must go on normal, you know.
So what were the prices of goods like during this period, just before the British came in?
Well, at least it's becoming cheaper. Because they're getting the British currency back.
Even before the British came back, they were already getting the British
currency. When the British came in, then there we can see this Australian money and the British money.
Just before the British came in,
yes, sir.
How were the prices like?
There was still black market going on, but not that bad as Japanese.
I mean, during Japanese time, just before the British came back to Singapore.
Still the black market is on. Still very hard to get things. Still very hard to get.
Were the prices very high?
Yes, still high.
Why did you still deal with Japanese currency when you knew that the British were coming back?
Well, we were thinking that it's still of use. It's still legal tender.
So when the British came back and you could not use it anymore, how did you feel about it?
Well, just too bad. It's just too bad. Not only affected me, no, a lot of people. Even business people got affected. Big firms got affected. They are worse. But the banana money has got no signature, no? It's only put Japanese currency. And it's not legal tender.
Were you very badly affected by that? Did you lose
well,
a lot?
for me as a layman, I don't feel anything. For me as a layman, I don't feel anything.
When the British came in, how did you get involved in black marketing again?
Well, we have got friends still knocking around, and then when the British came in, they need money, they need cigarettes. And so we ask them what they got from the stores, this and that. So they just simply bring up, we just simply buy.
From British soldiers?
Yes.
They took from their own stores?
Yes,
also.
Yes. That thing, at that time, the stores are not being recorded, nothing.
So was it still the same group of people who was doing black marketing during the Japanese times?
Yes, yes, still the same.
How did the British view this?
Pardon?
How did the British view this black marketing activities?
Well, actually, when they came in, nothing has been established yet. So things have gone out of hand, you see. There's no law and order.
Did they punish anyone whom they caught?
No, the British, no. They don't.
Or did they ever go around warning people not to deal in
no,
the black
don't.
Market?
No, they don't.
So they just left all of you to do what
yeah,
you
until,
like?
Yeah, until things get settled down, then newspaper are going out, black marketing, this and all.
Newspapers?
Yes, at that time they got newspaper.
What did they say about black marketing?
Well, more or less it's stated that sorry, I can't remember what it stated. Cannot remember, it's many long years back.
Did it disallow black marketing after a while.
They simply doesn't. They simply leave you alone.
But after things were more settled, did they disallow it altogether?
They try to control.
In what ways?
Then these shops, all they have to put tax, price list. Still black market going on at the roadside, Rochor Road, the popular area there, Rochor Road, all around.
What kind of goods were you dealing in this time?
Provisions, liquors, cigarettes.
How did you get your contacts again?
Through the soldiers. No, these British soldiers, they are very thick to be friendly with them. No? Yeah, very quick. They are very quick to be friends, you know. Then we just talk to them. We offer them cigarettes, this and that. Then we just talk along, this and that.
Were they afraid of being caught by their own authorities?
No.
Who would you normally sell your goods to then?
Same wholesalers, retailers, same people.
You don't deal with the individual customers?
No.
Consumers?
No.
How was your business when it was under the British?
Still not too bad lah, still can survive. But not as good as the Japanese time.
Were there a lot of people involved in this?
Pardon?
Were there a lot of people involved in this?
Yes, there's quite a lot. Because some of them go and loot stores. You know? Some of them go and loot stores. You know?
Did the British punish those who were selling stolen goods?
No, at that time, no.
What were the people's attitudes towards black marketing at that time?
Well, they were quite happy. They were saying that as long as with money I can get the things, it's okay. They still don't object to it.
How were the prices like? I mean, of goods that you were dealing with?
Well, just like a packet of cigarettes, it went as far as $3, $5, British currency and Australian money. Then liquor was $30, $40. Then milk is $2, $3.
Was it very difficult for the consumers to get this from the ordinary shops?
No, they sell openly to you. They sell openly to you, but you pay for the price.
Were these goods rationed by the British?
No. No.
What about basic needs like rice, sugar and all that? Were these rationed?
At the later stage, they ration. That is, I think, after 1 year, they start rationing because things have gotten out of hand.
So when they started to ration all this, did the black market activities continue?
Still.
Did it involve selling of rice and sugar also?
Yes.
So how did the British treat these people who were dealing in rice in the black markets?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they will stop their supplies. They will stop their supplies.
So at the later stage, the British were stricter with
Yes, yes. Things is more under control.
Did they go around catching anyone?
At a later stage, they put inspectors going around checking tech prices, tech list.
What happened to those who were caught for selling at a higher price?
Well, they'll be fined as well. And their rations will be cut off. Their supplies will be cut off.
What about people like yourself who are in this business? What happened if any one of you were being caught?
Well, as far as concerned, they leave us alone.
So how was living conditions when the British just came back and things
well,
were not in proper...
It's a little bit hard, you know. It's still a little bit hard.
Were there enough supply for everyone at a...
Still not enough. Still not enough.
So how did the people manage? For example, your own family, how did all of you manage?
Well, we still have to sometimes buy from black market.
What would you usually buy from the black market for your family?
Well, rice, provisions.
Could you get it easily since you were also dealing in black market?
Oh, yes, I could get it easily. And certain things the public can't get, you know.
Like what?
Just like milk, sardines, and those British canned food. They hoard up, you know. Cigarettes at one time also. Liquor.
How did you get the British currency to deal in the buying and selling?
Well, at that time, I've got some British currency with me. Then from there, roll.
How long did you continue in these black market activities?
I continue for about a year, then I went to contracting business.
Private?
Private.
At the time when the British just came back, was it very easy or very difficult to get a job?
Easy. Very easy.
Could everybody get a job?
If they are not lazy. If they are not lazy.
What kind of jobs were available at that time?
For well, most of them prefer to be... Most of them prefer to be laborers, you know. Because why? They go to stores. They transfer goods from one store to another, one store to another.
All these were working for the British. So what were your impressions of the British military administration at that time?
Well, so far I've got no comments on them. They are very tactful. They know how to pull the string and they know how to release the string.
In what sense? With whom?
In the administrative layout, they know how to be hard and they know how when to be hard and when to be soft. They are very tactful in things.
On the people of Singapore.
Yeah, they are very very tactful.
What about the area of food and general living conditions?
Well, no one can complain. No one complains.
Were there any changes in attitude towards the return of the British rule?
No changes. Because they know that we Chinese help the POWs a lot. And quite a lot of the Chinese risk their life to the Japanese. They know that. They know that.
Did the local people change their attitudes towards the British?
No. They're happy to see them.
Mr. Che, what do you think was the impact of the Japanese occupation on your personal life?
Well, on my personal life, frankly speaking, that I'm living in fear.
Did you learn anything from it?
Well, I live in fear, but I live things as it is, lah. I live things as it is. In spite of me having that Kempe Thai pass, you know, still I'm in fear. No?
Were there anything that you learned during that period from your experiences working with the Japanese or working in a freelance business?
Well, so far, I don't encounter anything. That's why I live quite in a happy way, and I don't harm people. I mean, I don't offend people. I always mix with them. I'm nice to them. You have to lah during that period. You have to.